From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Russia's announced 5-hour truce to allow civilians to flee Syria's besieged eastern Ghouta region failed Tuesday to halt days of fighting between government troops and opposition forces. Stefan Dujarric is a UN spokesman.
Reports from our humanitarian partners and other reliable sources indicate that the fighting is continuing this morning and that the shelling between East Ghouta and Damascus is ongoing in both directions.
Both sides accuse the other of violating Russia's daily 5-hour humanitarian pause to allow civilians to leave the eastern suburbs of Damascus via a safe corridor after more than 500 have been killed in nearly 2 weeks of heavy bombardment. Jens Lerke is with the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs.
What will save their lives are not words, but that are action. It's action. It's what it's the change of the situation on the ground.
Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov said Moscow will press ahead with its plan while the UN insists the warring parties abide by Saturday's UN Security Council resolution demanding a 30-day ceasefire. Heather Nauert is a U.S. spokesperson.
Russia is certainly not adhering to the ceasefire. They're not adhering to the ceasefire because they continue to sponsor and back Bashar al-Assad's government.
Nauert said the world is unified, that the violence must stop. She said the humanitarian zone is the entire country of Syria. Two senior allies have deposed former President Blaise Compaoré of Burkina Faso are among dozens appearing in court Tuesday, accused of organizing a 2015 coup against the transitional government. Former General Gilbert Dindera and ex-Foreign Minister Gilbert Brassol face charges including treason and threatening state security. More than 80 are charged with crimes related to the failed coup in which 14 were killed. This is VOA News. The U.S. Special Envoy to North Korea has announced his intention to retire this week. South Korean-born Joseph Yeon, a strong advocate for engagement with Pyongyang, is ending his 32 years of foreign service. Stephen Norper of the New York-based Korea Society called the decision regrettable.
Because he represents the side that urges for negotiation, and his service in terms of trying to allow room for South Korea, North Korea, to encourage the United States to really come to the table and negotiate is definitely an alternative to military strike or harsher options.
Friday, the U.S. imposed its largest set of sanctions on North Korea as part of its maximum pressure campaign. But the North's ambassador to the U.N. in Geneva, Han Tae-song, Tuesday, said the U.S. sanctions pressure campaign won't work and called on the U.S. to stop its provocations.
Stop all provocations that escalate tension, including deployment of nuclear assets around Korean Peninsula. Second, completely stop the joint military exercises, which is key factor that undermines regional peace and security.
The U.S. Ambassador Robert Wood responded, saying the U.S. will not recognize North Korea as a nuclear state. Demonstrators protested outside the U.N. in Geneva Tuesday over the appearance of Iran's Justice Minister Ali Reza Abbahi at the U.N. Human Rights Council. Among dozens of protesters, Nasser Reza of the National Council of Resistance of Iran.
He is one of the main perpetrators and who was involved in the massacre of more than 30,000 political prisoners in Iran in 1988.
Abbahi, Iran's former top prosecutor, has been internationally sanctioned over his role in rights violations, arbitrary arrests, and increased executions. South Africa has taken a step toward accelerating the transfer of land from white to black ownership as Parliament backs a motion seeking to change the Constitution, allowing land expropriation without compensation. It represents a move toward a long-standing pledge by the ruling African National Congress to redress racial disparities in land ownership. The U.S. Tuesday reduced aid to Cambodia over concerns over what it called recent setbacks to democracy. Washington cited Senate elections this week. The White House said failed to represent the genuine will of the Cambodian people. Former President Bill Clinton was among those paying his final respects Tuesday to the late American Protestant evangelist Billy Graham, who died last week at 99.
I'm just one of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people who, in their own way, will find some way to say thank you and goodbye to Billy Graham.
Former President George W. Bush and thousands of mourners who filed past Graham's casket at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. A funeral planned Friday. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.